at the moon. Don't know who or what I am. In your arms a while, face a baby for it knows to smile.
We're here, but there's no trace. Everywhere I turn, you kiss my face. Namaste and blessings. Sadgurunath Maharaj Ki Jai. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Meditative Living with Swami Shivananda Giri. This Swami is a representative and instructor within the tradition of Mahadeva Mahayoga under the guidance and direction of His Holiness Mahamandaleshwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda Vishwaguru Maharaj Swami of Los Angeles, California, who in 2007 became the very first white-skinned, American-born human being on this planet to be invited into the rank of the 80 Mahamandaleshwars. He is the only one who lives in North America. And it is this Swami's great joy to be associated with this lineage. This lineage from the man we lovingly refer to as HH, he's the guru, the head of Mahadeva Mahayoga. His guru was a very, very famous yogi, the man responsible for the meditation revolution within the 70s, known as Baba Swami Muktananda of India. And Swami Muktananda's guru was a very, very unique individual. He was not one to give long discourses on varying topics. He rarely spoke much at all. But what Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri, India, did do was he transmitted Shakti and gave Shaktipat to many, many, many people. All kinds of bizarre and kind of crazy things took place around him. And there were times when he would be completely inwardly focused in a transcendent state, and then would just begin to speak. Not directly to anyone, just speaking. Just saying sometimes short sentences, sometimes longer, but never like a full-on talk, really. Well, one of his disciples, a woman named Tulsi Amma, began writing down what Nityananda would say. Over 7 years, she and some other disciples put together a collection of the sayings of Nityananda. And once they had this put together, she asked for permission to have it published. And he granted that permission. He didn't write anything. His students wrote what he said, because it was so rare that he would even speak at all. They figured it's worth writing down. So they spent about 7 years writing down about 280 things that he said. And then that became published as the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. Today we continue with sharing this Chittakasha Gita. Today we are beginning with verse 240. Nityananda said, Shabda, or sound, is generated in Akash, or space. That which is generated in space is life energy. What is called Akash, a space, is in the head. Akash, or space, is heart space. Life energy is one only. Just as there is difference between a river and the sea, so also there is difference between Jivatman and Paramatman. It is one of degree, not of kind. One must not think as I and mine. This is the cause of next birth. That man is of little intelligence who thinks in terms of I and mine. By so thinking, he descends into lower birth. The energy in the sun appears as light. Likewise, there is an energy in the form of light in a gas light. To those who have lost the difference between day and night, the light of the sun and that of the gas light are the same. There's no difference between the two. One's faith is the greatest thing. Above faith, there is no God. In this world, there is nothing higher than faith. Man, devoid of faith, cannot be deceived by wicked tricks of others. Man enjoys that in which he has his faith. The internal faith should be concentrated upon breath. Those who have no faith have no thoughts of anything. Those who have no regard for sadhus and sannyasis, they think wrongly that thousands of sadhus are merged in them. The commentary. Sound is generated within space. Life energy is also generated in space. Just as there is the grand Mahadakash, the outer sky outside of our body, there is also an Akash inside the body. Its place is in the head. This is the heart space within the head. The life energy is one and one only. Though seeming there is a wide difference in the creation of the animal and human kingdoms. The seeming difference is like the difference between the river and the sea. It is not in quality, but in quantity. The sea and the river are separated at the bay by a thin partition. Likewise, Jivatman and Paramatman are separated from each other by a thin partition, the veil of Maya. One must not think in terms of I and mine. One must be completely devoid of this limited ego sense. For it is this feeling that is the root of the next birth. That man who thinks this is I and this is mine is of little intelligence. Ego leads a man to lower birth. There is an energy which appears as light in the sun. Likewise, there is an energy in the form of light within a gas light. To those who have lost the difference between day and night, the light of the sun and that of the gas light are the same. Undoubtedly, one is not greater than the other. One's faith is the greatest thing in this world. It is faith that leads a man to this cherished goal. Above faith, there is no God. Man devoid of faith cannot be deceived by the wicked tricks of others. Man enjoys that in which he has his faith. It is faith that is responsible either for a man's progress or retardation in life. What then is this faith? How do we cultivate it? Faith is not outside ourselves. It is within us. Faith is not external, but internal, and it can be developed through concentration upon breath. Those who have no faith have no thoughts of any value. Those who have no faith have no regard for sadhus and sannyasis. They think quite wrongly that thousands of sadhus are merged in them. They think they are self-sufficient, but the ego reigns supreme in them. Kindly allow this Swami to comment a bit more on this. Within the tradition of Mahadeva Mahayoga, this, what is being discussed in this verse, is very, very important. Because there comes a time when consciousness is expanding and has expanded to such a state where it becomes quite plain, quite obvious, that the body and the outwardly focused individuated mind are simply limitations upon the all, upon the one, for the purpose of learning and growth within the play of consciousness. So one of the things that we do some time ago, this Swami was assigned by the Guru to cease using I, me, my, mine, and to come up with other ways, such as this Swami is one of the preferred that this Swami uses now. But kindly allow this Swami to testify for you. When you begin to do such a thing, you see in a short amount of time how many times a day those words fall from your lips and take place within your thoughts. I, me, my, mine. And it's completely habitual because you've not spent any time considering the broader perspective. And even when you are directly experiencing the broader perspective, that habitual speech pattern will continue unless you do something about it. So for that purpose, we utilize this exercise of dropping I, me, my, mine, and using phrases such as speaking in the third person about oneself. Because then that becomes very comfortable, because you are, and you know you are, beyond the limitations of the body and the outwardly focused thought patterns and the subconscious. You are more than that. And once you are directly perceiving this, continuing with the I, me, my, mine is quite limiting. And it doesn't feel right, even though it is a well-established habit and pattern of expression. So, for anyone who has ever interacted with this Swami and wondered, why does he call himself this Swami? And well, there you go. That's it. Moving on. Verse 241. To a blind man, there is no difference between day and night. To him, external light is of no use. In him, the light of Jayan is strong. To the blind, their bodily form is of no use. As their physical eyes do not see, their spiritual eye must be very effective. Blind men cannot describe the form of a carriage by feeling it with touch. The commentary. To a blind man, there is no difference between day and night. Similarly, to an ignorant man, a man without the knowledge of the eternal truth, or God, there is no difference between a jnani and a wrongly minded man. To such a man, both are the same kind. He does not perceive the difference between the perishable and the imperishable. He views things in his own light and imputes limitation upon the limitless God. He does not differentiate between the world and God. To a blind man, external light is of no use. Because of his blindness, he cannot avail himself of the external light. Likewise, an ignorant man thinks that he is self-sufficient, that he does not need external help. Hence, he does not avail himself of it. In a building, the light of jnana, knowledge, is strong. Though a blind man has physical eyes, the eyes do not function. The light in the eyes, the seeing faculty, has senses like ordinary men. They are like the slaves of the Atman, the individuated, the spark from the divine, the limited. In a jnani, a knower, in whom all the senses are dead, the light of jnana, or knowledge, is very strong. A jnani's attention is directed towards the one everlasting truth, and he is blind to all else. In blind men, as their physical eyes do not see, their spiritual eye must be very effective. Blind men cannot describe the form of a carriage by merely touching it. In like manner, ignorant men and women who have no experience about the bliss of God cannot know how that divine bliss is by merely reading books about bliss. Experience directly and consciously of that bliss is absolutely necessary if one desires to know what divine bliss actually is. Allow this Swami to comment here on bliss. Many people in the beginning of their understanding of the terms utilized in the meditative and contemplative traditions may hear the term bliss and associate that with what is more properly referred to as ecstasy. Now, ecstatic states do occur, but they also go away. Wonderful, a lot of fun, but you cannot maintain that. That racing heartbeat, that short breath, excitement. Oh! Okay, that's not the bliss we're discussing. That is a blissful experience, but it is not something where you can become stable and always feel that. That's not possible because there's a release of chemicals within the brain that triggers this to occur within a human. There is something beyond the chemical releases within the brain. That's what you have to go and find within yourself. And very often, this bliss could be much more correctly aligned with a term like contentment. Despite the blender of emotions, this contentment will arise. And you come to find you simply do not react to the same degree that you once did to many, many things, especially things that used to piss you off. Many of us, once upon a time, who are now, established or becoming established within this bliss, this contentment, can now look at that once upon a time infuriated us. But now we can see and understand it for what it is, without that emotional content. Now, this is not to say you will never feel the emotion of anger again or the emotion of joy. No, 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 no. But you come to understand that these have physical attributes related to chemistry within the brain that are the primary causers of that condition. What we are seeking is beyond the limitations of the brain chemicals and of the outwardly focused mind, and beyond the limitation of the individuated bodily form. Until you have gone beyond those things and become stable there, you're going to continue to react to things the way you always have. You may show progress, of course, but you've already, your subconscious mind has already been established in reactions to so many different things you never even think about. It's just, boom, what happens? Bam. This happens, then boom, you react in this way. Whatever it may be, good, bad, neutral. And that's part of the function patterns of an individuated human. But you can go beyond that and reach something that is quite literally indescribable, but it's quite wonderful. And it brings this contentment that you can stay in that perception and watch everything play out, regardless what those around you are doing. Regardless what those around you are saying, you can sit there and watch the game play out. It's doable, and this Swami would recommend, by whatever means available to you, you make every effort to attain this level. This is what is the result of the true enlightenment, the true silence. Not just a lack of stimulation to the eardrum. That's all physical stuff. This is beyond that. So seek, and ye too shall find. Verse 242. Nityananda said, is the sound generated from the world, or is the world generated from the sound? Is the effect from the cause, or the cause from the effect? The world is generated from the sound. From the sound is generated the form, and the sound is generating the form, and the world which has form, form the cause and the effect. Whence is the cause? The cause and the effect are from the self, the large S, self, that content self. Cause and effect must be the slaves of oneself. Both these are from the self. This self, large S, absorbs both the cause and the effect and become one, indivisible. The Maya, which the self creates, is annihilated by self. A lie is a lie. If you believe the lie, you will have to tell the lie. If you believe the truth, you must tell the truth. Those who utter falsehood have no truth about them. There is no falsehood separate from them, but it is one with them. What is the cause of falsehood? Their mind becomes habituated to falsehood, and they do not feel it to be false. They do not feel falsehood as a separate thing. If they know falsehood to be evil, their mind will not be inclined to falsehood. Then they will feel there is a separate thing known as truth. Then they will attain to the good. Then they will know the correct path. The commentary. Is the sound generated from the world, or is the world generated from the sound? Is the effect from the cause, or the cause from the effect? The world is generated from the sound. From the sound is generated the form, and the world that has the form. These form the cause and the effect. Without the cause, there would be no effect. Whence the cause? The cause is from the self, big S. The effect is also from the self, big S. The cause and effect, the two twins, originated from the self, and they must merge back to the self. From where they have originated, they must be merged. From where they have begun, there they must end. One must enslave cause and effect. The Maya, or illusion, the Maya, which had its birth in the self, should also be absorbed in the self. There is no other way to transcend Maya. There is no other place to leave Maya. God forbids both in and out. A lie is always a lie. If you believe in the lie, you will have to tell it. If you believe in truth, well, then you must tell the truth. Those who utter falsehood have no truth in them. For them, There is no separate lie. All are like that type, ignorant of the true goal of life. What is the cause of falsehood? To them, their falsehood seems to be truth because their minds are habituated to the falsehoods. They are one with falsehood. A man or woman with colored spectacles sees the world colored and not as it actually is. If a man knows his own weakness, he will not stoop to that weakness again. Such a man will realize the truth, and he will come to know that truth has a separate existence from falsehood. From that moment, his spiritual eye will be open. A man with subtle discrimination can differentiate between what is good and what is bad for him. Such a man will know the royal road, and progressing in this direction will ultimately realize the cherished goal. Sonic, let's do the break song, and we'll be back in just a few on Meditative Living. Namaste and blessings. This Swami welcomes you with great love and great respect from the heart of all. Thank you for allowing this Swami to be of service. Continuing on with the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. Verse 243. Nityananda said, "Just as all rivers enter the ocean, both the good and the evil enter the Atman. Both are sacrificed to the Atman. Both the good and the evil are from the Atman. They enter in that from which they came. Mind is the cause of good and evil acts. Mind is Atman's instrument. No one can increase or diminish the soul force. What will happen. It will happen only in one way, according to the external law." The commentary. "Just as all rivers enter the ocean, both good and evil enter the Atman." The Atman, for those unfamiliar with that term, is analogous to the soul within the Christian church. Okay? It's the individuated unit. Returning to the commentary. "The aim and end of all the rivers is to join the ocean, the one everlasting and the one unchangeable. Similarly, the one absorbing end of both good and evil is to be merged in the Atman. Good and evil have their birth in the Atman, and therefore they must be sacrificed to the Atman. Good and evil enter in the form from which they came. Mind is the cause of both good and evil. Good and evil in this world are relative. If a tiger preys upon a man, it is sport. If a man kills another man, it is murder. What is sport to the man-eater is murder to man. It is the interpretation of the mind that is responsible for the good in one case and the evil in the very same action. No one increase nor diminishes this. What will happen will happen. It will happen in a particular way according to the inscrutable law which governs the universe. Man has no hand in that supreme law." Verse 244. Nityananda said, "The seed is not from the tree. The seed is the beginning. A seed falls down from the tree, and that seed grows into a small plant, which then grows into a tree. Again and again, trees grow from seeds. Similar is this creation. In the seed is the beginning, but there is no ending. Wherever you may see, you are seeing the same seed." The commentary. "The seed is not from the tree. The seed is the beginning. So also, God is not from the universe. The universe had its beginning in God. A seed falls down from the tree, and then that seed grows into a plant, which grows into another tree. Likewise, the soul, embodied in flesh, with its weaknesses, must ceaselessly progress in spirituality until it is one with the source. Again, this cycle goes on unending, one of them advancing in spirituality. This is the progress of creation. In the seed is the beginning, but there is no ending in the seed. Whoever you may see, you see that very same seed. Just as a seed is the beginning of the tree and all future seeds, so also primordial nature is the beginning of all of this creation. Verse 245, Nityananda said, those who have no doubt find that this doubtlessness is the path to one-pointedness of mind. A doubting person's intellect is limited. Wherever they see nothing but doubt. Everybody is subject to his own nature. There is no cause for finding that quality which one has not. In the still water, a man can see his shadow. In the still water, a man can see his shadow quite properly. Similarly to a fickle-minded man or woman, their real nature is wherever they think they see the one, indivisible. If they see themselves in others, they can see in this way. If you put on red spectacles, everything you see is red. You cannot see green in color. Everyone sees according to the way they think. The commentary. Those who have no doubts find that their doubtlessness is the path to one-pointedness of mind. A doubting person's intellect is inferior. Those doubts cloud their vision, and therefore they cannot see eye to eye the truth about God and creation. Wherever that one may see, he sees nothing but things to be doubtful about. He is immersed in doubt, and hence full of doubt. His own nature predominates over him. A man cannot find in others a quality which he has not within himself. In turbulent water, a man can see his shadow. When the water is still, he can see his shadow quite well. Similarly, to the fickle-minded, doubting man, his real nature is not visible to him. A veil of doubts obstruct him from the right perspective. Such a one is ignorant of their own faults. To a steady-minded one, wherever they see the one, the indivisible, as everything. They develop in themselves that power, which then is seen everywhere in the world, both inside and outside. They then see the self, with a big S. A steady mind perceives God everywhere. If you put on red spectacles, everything you see everywhere is red. Likewise, it is our perspective, whether right or wrong, that is responsible for either the good or the bad in this world. Everyone sees according to the way they think. Verse 246. Nityananda said, why do you hold an umbrella? To prevent the rain from falling on you. Rain is the Maya. Truth is the umbrella. Chitta, or firm mind, is the handle of the umbrella. In everything, you'll see truth. But there are very few men or women who have realized that truth. Maya, the illusion, is from the Atman. But the Atman is not from the illusion. The prime minister represents the king. The prime minister is not the mind. Mind is not the Atman. Mind is the reflection of the Atman. Mind is two ranks below Atman. Mind is subject to destruction. Atman is indestructible. Mind is deluded by the various objects of the senses. Atman is not subject to this delusion caused by the threefold qualities. Mind is subject to these threefold qualities. When we say that mind is a fragment of the Atman, we mean mind is to Atman what the river is to an ocean. Atman is the ocean. Its water is measureless and endless. Similarly, Atman has neither a beginning nor an ending. Atman has not come from anywhere, nor does it go anywhere. There is actually nothing. Atman is everywhere. There is nothing existing but Atman. Before you and behind you, all creation, in fact, is unknown to you. The commentary. Why do you hold an umbrella? To prevent the rain from falling on you, of course. The rain is the Maya, the illusion, the appearance of separation and other. Truth is the umbrella. Chitta, or a firm mind, is the handle of that umbrella. Just as the handle of the umbrella is of vital importance, without which the umbrella cannot be unfolded, so also, if the truth, or the umbrella, is to be revealed or unfolded within us, we must have a firm mind, a handle. Because of firm mind, we can perceive the truth, and the knowledge of the truth shields us from the onslaughts of the Maya, or the rain, or the illusion, the misunderstanding. In everything, there is realized this truth. God is everywhere and in everything. Maya is from Atman, from the individuation. The individuation is not from Maya. From the imperishable, Maya has its birth. Prime minister in any clime is only prime minister of the king. He is not the king himself. Mind is not Atman. It is the reflection of Atman. Atman is the king. Mind is the prime minister. Atman reflects light on the mind. Mind is lower in rank than Atman. Mind is perishable. Atman is imperishable. Mind is deluded by the various objects of the senses. Mind is like the monkey, fickle-minded, jumping around from branch to branch to branch, thought to thought to thought. Mind craves for the multitudinous pleasures of this world. But the Atman is above this delusion. The Atman is beyond time, space, and causation, unattached to anything in this world. The Atman is innocent, faultless, and above the three qualities. But the mind is not above the three qualities. It is not faultless. Mind is to the Atman what the river is to the sea. Mind is to the Atman only a fragment of the Atman. Mind is limited. Atman is unlimited. Atman has neither beginning nor ending. Atman has not come from anywhere, nor does it go anywhere. It is everywhere. There is nothing existing but Atman, when properly understood. The indefinable power that rules the universe and the soul are of the same kind. The difference is only in degree. Hence, an enlightened man sees Atman everywhere in this world. Before you, after you, is all creation, which in fact is unknown to you. This can be known by you when you become one with the universal law which governs the universe. Verse 16. Nityananda said, when the life energy moves in an outward direction, desire is generated for the sense objects. It manifests as mind, and it is divided and subdivided into 2, 3, and 6. Thus, what is called the world comes into being. From this world, all qualities, good and bad, come into being. 5 organs of action are related to the earth. 5 chief senses are related to the earth. 5 senses are related to space. Organs of action are said to belong to Satguna. He who conquers the senses is the free man. To such a man, fulfillment comes from within himself. The commentary. When the life energy moves in an outward direction, various desires are generated within us. Desire manifests itself as the mind itself. Mind is divided and subdivided into 2, 3, 6, and what is called the world comes into being. From this world, all qualities, both good and bad, come into being. Man, by directing his mind outward and not inward towards the eternal truth, creates in himself various desires for worldly joys. Instead of annihilating the fickle mind, he feeds it, and the result is he creates in himself a world of desires and enjoyments. The desires branch out into many, many, and this division and subdivision goes on, unending. From the world, 5 chief senses of knowledge come into being, 5 organs of action, which are related to earth, also come into being. 5 chief senses of knowledge are related to space. The characteristics of the above 5 senses are the same as that of consciousness. Organs of action are said to belong to Satguna. He who conquers the senses becomes a free man. To such a man, fulfillment, or mukti, or freedom, comes from within himself. To be a perfect jnani, perfect renunciation, is absolutely necessary. Renunciation is nothing but the perfect conquest of the desires related to the senses. Only desireless men and women can attain liberation from the bondage. Let's wrap up just a tad early today, Sonny. Thank you ever so much for tuning in. Next Friday, we will continue with verse 248 of the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. Should you wish to contact this Swami, please feel free to visit meditativeliving.info, not .com.org or .net, meditativeliving.info. There you will find the very simple site for this Swami and also this Swami's personal email address. If you have questions, comments, complaints, please drop an email. It will be responded to. Thank you once again for allowing this Swami to be of service to the divine hiding within you. May you see that yourself. Oh.